Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Amen. That might have been written before I was born, but I knew it. So, I knew that song, and I love it. It's a good song, and very fitting, might I add, for tonight. So, that's really, and we'll get into it in just a little bit. That is the heart behind membership, that we would be faithful to God, and that we would hold each other accountable to such faithfulness, holiness, and righteousness. So, thank you for leading us in that, Debbie. Well, we are continuing in our series, Church Foundations. And we're really looking at what it means to be an internally healthy church. That is, that's the one side of our bracket, if you will. And we've just been going week by week through that. Last week, we looked at leadership. Leadership is the first of four pillars that I think really impacts the health, the internal health of a church. And I want to say this before we move on to the second pillar. There was a lot of content to go through, therefore I felt like I had to, on the whim, as I went through, had to navigate and cut different things in my sermon, or else I would have kept you here all night. So I did that, but I want to spend a minute, because I felt like I didn't do enough of that last week, particularly talking about the value and the role of deacons. I spent so much time on the pastor, especially with announcing that we're going to be having a worship and music and youth pastor come on soon. With that, and then just talking about the role of a pastor a lot, I felt like I didn't get to spend much time just really lifting up the value of our deacons. And man, they are crucial. They're critical for us to be a biblical church. And not only that, but practically in the outworkings of this church, our deacons are vital. Just want to spend a minute and just talk about all that they do, and I know they would hate it, me doing that. But I want to, because truly, you might not see all their behind-the-scenes working, but wow, they do so much. They are regularly calling and checking in with people, visiting those that are sick, can't get out. I met with Gary early on, the chairman of the deacons, and early on in my time here, and we just were talking about the role of a pastor and his relationship with the deacons, and one thing stuck with me that he said, and he just said, you know, in a sense, deacons can kind of form a hedge around a pastor, that many questions can be fielded and topics can be discussed that don't all have to come straight to the pastor, right? They can, in a sense, field those for me, and they certainly do that, and it is so helpful for me, especially on Sunday mornings and just other times. They in a lot of ways form a hedge around me, that they answer requests that not only I can answer or need to answer. They also, in I'd say probably one of the biggest ways, are a sounding board for me, and I bounce ideas off them, and they throw them back. Even just in our last meeting, just an hour ago, they were giving me input and suggestions, and I was asking them questions. And in a lot of ways, I find a lot of the wisdom that drives the things that I'm doing here after conversations that I've had with them, that they've really given me insights and helped me make hard decisions. And so I commend the deacons here and the brothers that serve along me in that way. So we talked about leadership last week and the vitality of having healthy leadership if you want an internally healthy church. Now, there's three more, I think, areas that we can look for, or look at, rather, to find if you're healthy or not on the inside. These are areas that you can look at to find whether or not you're healthy, and these are areas that you work in if you want to improve the health of your church. Firstly, there's leadership, but then there's also membership. That's the week that we'll be looking at tonight. Next week will be the corporate worship gathering. That is essential to be healthy and biblical if you want the weekly lives of the people to be healthy. And then lastly, the serving and discipleship. That is the activity of the church within it. So don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Let's spend some time talking about church membership. And the necessity of that for having an internally healthy church. I Let me just say, I worked out yesterday in the gym, and you're like, what are you talking about? That you went way off the rails. I'm going somewhere with this. And I don't go to the gym often. I wear cardigans all the time. So that's just to let you know, I'm not always at the gym much, but I went to the gym yesterday, and I am not kidding when I tell you I got up last night at 3 a.m. because I had to walk around. My muscles were hurting so bad I could not sleep. I'm not kidding. I woke up and I was aching and I was rolling around. I even woke Sarah up. She's like, what are you moving around so much? I was like, I'm hurting. And so I had to get up and I walked around the living room just to like move my arms around. And I'm not kidding. It was painful. I don't know why people do that as a hobby, but I don't know. In a way, I feel like that's what we're doing as a church when we talk about these things. These are hard topics, are they not? And they, in a lot of senses, it feels like we're kind of just like trudging through the mud of theology and things that we don't always think about, right? In the normal workings of the church, we don't always talk about membership, especially from the pulpit. And so maybe in a metaphorical sense, in a spiritual sense, our muscles are just aching. We're like, can we just go back to the Psalms when we were going through the Psalms a few months ago in Sunday evening? And it's just so much more easy to just walk through and be encouraged by. But you would all also agree that as much as I might hate the gym, it's good for me. And it stretches our muscles and it works on us where we need to be worked on. Well, that's what I wanted this series to be. And I hope it's been good for us, even if it's stretching us where we don't always want to be stretched and pulling where it's not always comfortable to be pulled. And so that might be tonight as well. But I think it is ultimately good for the health of our church that we think about these things. And so three questions I want to consider as we look at church membership. Firstly, I want to ask the question, what is membership? Secondly, why have membership? And then thirdly, how will we uphold membership here at Emmanuel Baptist Church in a very practical way? Because at the end of this sermon, at the end of tonight, I'm hoping that we can, one, know very clearly what membership is, that we can go out and talk about membership with clarity, that people would understand what it is. But then also we have a passion for it because we know why it's so important. So not only what it is, but why have it, to where we can go out and tell people about it, but then also say, I encourage you strongly, become a member of a church. There's value. There is good reason to be a member in communion with other people, walking through life with them. There's value in it. So I want to talk about what it is, that we know very well what it is, why we should have it, how essential it is to be a Christian, walking the way God wants you to walk. Membership is very important in doing that. And then thirdly, of course, if we only look at the first two questions, what it is and why I have it, but we don't talk about the practical implementation here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, well, it's not very helpful, right? So I want to talk about what it is, why we should have it, why we should want it. And then thirdly, I want to talk about, okay, well, how then are we going to implement it here? And in a lot of ways, we already are. Just how can we continue? How can a church uphold membership and implement it? So that's where we're going. Let's look at the first question there. What is membership? And really, I think we can answer that question two different ways. If we were to say, what are we talking about when we say somebody is a member of the church? What do we mean when we say somebody is a member of the church? Well, firstly, we could mean that person is a member of the universal body of Christ, right? Universally, globally, I'm a part of the body of Christ. This is the terminology that Paul uses when he says there's many arms and legs, but all of them make up the body of Christ, and Christ is the head, right? This is the universal, global body of Christ. This means that you are a member of the family of Christ. We are family members with others that live on every continent in this world because they are part of the same family. They're part of the same church, in a sense. And this is also when we're talking about, well, somebody's a part of the church, and we're talking global here, This is also the book of life, right? In Revelation, where John says that there was a book of life with all these names written on it. Well, these are people that are part of the church. So that's one way that we can say that somebody's a member of the church. But also, we can also say somebody's a member of the church when we say that that person is a member of a local body of believers in a given area. And that's the one that we're going to talk about tonight. We're not going to really talk so much about the being a part of the universal church, but really what it means to be a part of the local church. A local church. And if we look at it, just going through the Bible, this really wasn't necessary in the Old Testament. It wasn't, because if you think about it, it was a nation, and so if you just walked into a given town and you were like, okay, where are the Christians at, or where are the followers of Yahweh? Well, everyone is. They're a part of the nation. They're a part of Israel. So when you don't really need local body recognition at that point in the Old Testament. But now when we shift to the New Testament, what changes? Well, now the church is no longer a nation, but the body of God is dispersed throughout all nations, to where now when we walk into a given town or city and we say, okay, where are the followers of Yahweh? Well, now you need local body designations, and you need to have, it's really critical that we are identified locally in every town and every city, who the Christians are amongst ungodly pagan cultures. So it might not have been necessary in the Old Testament with it being a nation, but now with us being dispersed throughout all the nations, it is critical for us to have local bodies. That up there, that's really what I would say a summation of what local church membership is. Local church membership is a covenant between a Christian and a specific body of believers. That's what local church membership is, at least how I would define it in simple terms. I've used an analogy in our Wednesday night Bible studies of really a marriage covenant. I think that's a good picture that can paint a picture in our minds of what membership is in the church. It's really a covenant of an individual. Just picture a marriage, right? A wedding where the individual is holding hands with the church and we're making a vow to one another. I will vow accountability to you and you to me, faithfulness, and this promise of living life with one another in the hard times and the good times. Vows are made, and they're expected to be upheld in local church membership. Therefore, we can't just have names on a list who sometimes attend, right? Who do not interact with one another, and they have really no concern about the other's lives and what they're going through. This would be breaking the vows of a covenant that was made, promises that would be upheld. This covenant that we have in church membership, it includes, and I would even say requires, consistent relationship with one another, right? This is the vow that we make as we step into life with one another. Consistent relationships, a commitment to the church, faithfulness to the body, and honesty and transparency in our faults and the struggles that we have. This is what it means to be in a covenant with the church. So that is what church membership is, okay? It's a covenant. Now, I want us to consider why. Why is that necessary? Now we understand, okay, well, there's this transparency and this promise of faithfulness and commitment to the body. Why? Why can't I just be an individual that just loves Jesus and sometimes does that with other people, right? Why does there have to be a commitment to other Christians? Well, we should say, and we should note, that it's not specifically commanded in Scripture. There is no place in Scripture that says, thou shalt seek local body church membership. It's not in any of the Pauline letters. It's not in the Gospels. It's just not there. It's not explicitly commanded in Scripture to seek out local church membership. So why have it? Of course, I'm asking that rhetorically. I'm going to answer that question. There's a good value to have it. Even though local membership isn't explicitly commanded, it is necessary, and I'd use even that term, it is necessary for us to fulfill other commands that Scripture do give us. It itself is not explicitly commanded, but it is assumed and necessary for us to live out other commands that Scripture has given us. Firstly, I want to think about the command given to each one of you. Us, each individually, there's commands in Scripture for Christians to hold others accountable in holy living. And we are to go to one another when somebody isn't living a lifestyle conducive to what God would call us to. We are called to hold that person accountable in the local body. If we go to Matthew 18, we see this quite clearly. It says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. This is Matthew 18, starting in verse 15. If he sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Now, this is a private conversation. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother back. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you. Now, it's kind of an intervention inside the body of Christ. That every charge may be established by evidence of two or three witnesses. So these are not just, notice this, these are not just random Christians that, hey, could you just come with me? I've got this friend named Joey, and I really got to talk to him. Okay, well, tell me about Joey as we're going there. No, these are one or two individuals that also have evidence of what's being brought before this person, of their fault. So these are two or three people that know this person well, that's living life with this person. That every charge may be established by evidence of two or three witnesses. These are people living life with them. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Now you're broadening out more and more. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. There's accountability to holiness that we are called to do as a church. Now, I couldn't imagine doing that without a membership, an official membership of who is a part of the church. And if it were to get so far, who would be the person that would be pulled out? We have to have some kind of recognition of formal membership in who's in the local body. This is not referring to just whatever Christians happen to be going through the town at that time. No, these are people that know each other well, and they're formally tied together as a body. So though membership isn't explicitly commanded, it is necessary for us to fulfill the duty commanded to all Christians of holding each other accountable in holy living. Another command that is really makes membership necessary is one given to me, the pastor. There is a command for pastors to know the specific souls that he is to care for. If you go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, obey your leader and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. So one day I will stand before the judgment seat of God on your behalf. And I just want to sit there silently and think about the severity of that. Could you imagine me not knowing who I'm accountable to? That just being kind of gray area, yeah, I see them sometimes here. Church membership, a formal recognition of who is a part of the body here, is essential for me to fulfill my command well, that I would stand before the judgment seat of God faithfully, with integrity, and say that I did my best to serve that soul. A pastor can only do that if he knows exactly who these people are. So that's one reason, because it's necessary for us to fulfill other commands in Scripture. Now, there's a lot of bad reasons for us to have membership. Let me just say that. There's a lot of reasons that maybe churches might have membership that really aren't good reasons. We should still have it, but we should change our reason if our reason is any of these. Firstly, a bad reason to have membership is just because, well, we've always done it. Tradition. Oftentimes people say that's why. Well, we've just always done that. There's better reasons to have membership than just because we always have. Another bad reason to have membership is to keep an attendance roll. It helps us know who is and who isn't sitting in the pews each week. I mean, this is good to know. It's not a bad thing to know who's sitting in the pews, but there is much better reasons to have membership than just knowing an attendance roll. because we might be having people sit in the pews that are not committing themselves to faithful living for God and faithfulness to the church. They might just be attending every week. Membership cannot be just tied to who's sitting in the pews every week. Another bad reason. I'm saying these because I want us to not have membership for these reasons. A third reason that is bad to have membership for is some might see it as a ticket for salvation. And they might not say it that way. They might not speak in those terms and talk about, yes, I'm a member because, well, that just gave me a ticket to heaven. But that might be understood a little bit if you kind of dig down deep and ask them, well, why are you holding on to membership at a church that you haven't gone to church and you haven't prayed a prayer in 15 years? Why are you holding on to that membership? And if you get down to it, some might say, well, that almost feels like I'm tied to God still in a little bit of a way. And I want to say that's a bad reason to keep membership, because it's a false assurance of salvation. Just because you have been baptized and now a member of a church 20 years later, no connection with that church or any other church, really no relationship with God, that membership has no value for your eternal salvation. So it's a very bad reason to have membership if all you have membership for is because, well, it gives you assurance of somebody else's salvation, maybe a loved one, that they're still a member of a church, and you don't want to take them off the rolls because it means something. Maybe there's still something there, a thread holding on. We have to get it out of our minds that that is actually a legitimate tie for that person's soul. These are all bad reasons to have church membership, but there are good reasons to have church membership. Firstly, it is necessary according to biblical commands. We've already talked about that. But secondly, there are benefits to being actively involved in healthy membership. Now, again, these benefits that I'm about to walk through, they are not actual legitimate benefits if you're not involved. If you just have membership at a church and you don't show up at that church for 10 years, these are not real benefits for you. The benefits only actually are benefits if you are an active, involved member in the church. Let me walk through a few of them. There's three of them. Firstly, active, involved membership offers accountability for those who are inside the church. There's accountability, and that's a benefit. I like to quote from Mark Dever. I mentioned it in our Bible study, I think, last Wednesday. Joining a church is like throwing paint on an invisible man. It's true. It's true. If you join membership at a church and now you're in covenant with them and you are called to be transparent and honest and you work through all the hardships and you're living life with one another, that's like throwing paint on an invisible man. That's a good benefit, and it might feel uncomfortable. It might feel like you don't want to have paint thrown on you. But man, is that good for you to be righteous and holy and faithful. Accountability is a God-given gift that might be uncomfortable sometimes. Without membership, though, church attenders are not truly held accountable to ethical standards. They're not. I mean, the church could call out the sin in somebody's life that's just attending the church. The church could call out that sin. But there's no repercussions. There's no consequences. It's just, hey, grow in that. But there's no consequences. There's no being held accountable to the covenant that you've stepped into. That only comes when you step into the covenant that they can now call you to be faithful to. There's no repercussions if you're just an attender. But membership, there's value in it because it offers accountability. Secondly, membership gives you congregational affirmation about your salvation. Now that was a mouthful. Think about it though. Membership really affirms or reaffirms your salvation. It's not a ticket for salvation. This is not a ticket for salvation. That is not to say that, well, if you're a member, then you're sure to be right with God. No, unfortunately, there are a lot of people that are members of churches all across this nation and the world members of churches that are not right with God. So membership does not just seal the deal that you are just now right with God. No, but membership does give the comfort that many Christians came together in affirming the legitimacy of your salvation. They say, we see the fruits in your life. We see the profession of faith. We see your commitment to Jesus. And yes, we will collectively step into a covenant with you, affirming that you are a part of the body of Christ. There is assurance, a reassurance, a reaffirmation of your salvation when a congregation comes together and says that. We're going to be having just a business meeting this coming Thursday. We're going to be bringing in 3 members upon the vote. And what we're doing there is we're going to be saying, we see you, we're living life with you every week, we can tell there's fruit in your life, and I'm going to be giving, really vouching for them, because I've met with all 3 of them personally, I've talked through theology with them, and I will vouch for them to the congregation, and then the whole congregation will say, as far as we can tell, there are fruits of salvation, and so yes, we will put a stamp on it that we affirm, we will sign the dotted line that we affirm that you are a part of the body of Christ. I think about when I came here, of course, just you go through the normal process of things. You put in a resume, that's the word, and you have people that are your references, right? And so you have to go around and find individuals that one, know you very well. What's a reference if they're like, yeah, I think I met him back in 8th grade, right? But you need to have a reference that really knows you and would vouch for you and say he would be fitting for this job. Really, in a lot of senses, membership acts in that way. A congregation of people know that person well. They see their faithfulness to Jesus and they say, yes, we will vouch for them. We affirm, we sign the dotted line, we see that person, and we would say, as best as we can tell, that is a member of the body of Christ. This comfort goes out the window, though. If you're not anywhere to be seen for years at a time, we can't vouch for you at that point. We can't make the promise like we did back in the day when you were always regularly attending, right? If you just aren't here for 10 years, how could we vouch for you in that sense? And what's happened in the last 10 years? What kind of life are you living now? This kind of benefit is only legitimate if you are an actively involved participant in the church. You are a member. And then there, I think, is great comfort and affirmation of your salvation. That's what membership does. Thirdly, and we've already talked about this, membership allows pastors to know their flocks. I've already talked about that from Hebrews 13:17, who they're accountable for. If you remember, obey your leaders, submit to them, for they are keeping watch of your souls and are those who will have to give an account. This is why I'm seeking out members that I haven't seen. This is why I'm reaching out, trying to touch base and build a relationship with them, to bring them into regular communion with our church. This is why I am not content with members not attending. I'm not content with that. I want to see if you are a member here. I want to see you. I want to live life with you because I'm held accountable for your soul. I'm not content with members just watching YouTube on Sunday mornings. I can't live life with you in that sense, and therefore I can't give an account for your soul if church is just online. This is why I'm not content with members attending a different church that I'm not monitoring the teachings of, and yet they just keep their membership here. I'm accountable for their soul. That's why it's so important. Membership allows pastors to know their flock. So thirdly, now I want to go to the third question. We've talked about what is membership. Now, why have membership? Thirdly, I want to talk about how will we uphold membership here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. 3 things, briefly. Firstly, we can all, each individually, I think we can really do this well together. We can encourage attenders to become members. Maybe you know somebody that's just attending here. Encourage them, become a member of our church. Let's not together, collectively, let's not be content with attenders being lifelong attenders. Instead, let's be excited about seeing new members added all the time and encouraging people. Let's see you become a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church. Step into covenant with us. Would we be excited about that? And would we be pushing that all the time? Let's have a heart for membership. There's great value in it for that person. And what this looks like, well, asking regular attenders, hey, are you a member? Have you gone through the membership process? And if they aren't familiar with it, well, it's good for us to be familiar with it to where we can guide them in that, right? And so actually there's a map, and I think that I brought a slide. Ooh, that's going to be probably really hard to read. But there are hard copy maps out there, and it's kind of like a treasure map of the route that someone takes in order to become a member here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Firstly, they become a regular attender. It's hard to sign somebody up as a member if we've only met them one time, right? We have to know that they are wanting to step into covenant, and they affirm what the church would also affirm in the covenant. So first, become a regular attender. Let's just say that's just the first step. Just be a part of the body for a while. And then attend a membership class. We have those every other month. Then they could submit a membership application if they're interested, and that's not like a it's not like a grading thing. It's really just them telling me their testimony and telling me their name. They have a spouse, kids. What's your life look like right now? Where do you live? Do you live 50 miles away? Do you live in town? That's all it is, just for me to get to know them a little bit. And then I would meet with them. And that's not a scary thing. I pour a cup of coffee, and I don't like to think I'm too intimidating, right? I'm not that scary. I wear cardigans, again, for the second time. So they would meet with me, and then if they would need to get baptized, they haven't yet been baptized, well, they can get baptized. And then after that, they would become a member. And of course, the last step is get involved. We want every member involved here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. That's a very easy flow, kind of a treasure map look. But it's good for us to be versed in that, to where when we go to attenders and we say, are you a member yet? Oh, it'd be so cool if you became a member. The next membership class is just in a few weeks, right? This is important for us to know. The second thing that we can do in order to uphold membership here at our church is keep membership roles up to date. Keep the membership roles up to date. This is so important for us to do and work hard at. Let me say, the membership roles of any given church do not help that church if they are full of names of people that aren't actually held accountable and they aren't holding other people accountable. If they're just names of people that no one knows who they are, it really makes those membership roles a lot less significant, doesn't it? So we should keep our roles up to date. What this looks like, well, congregationally, we should vote members in regularly. Let's see people brought in, and we update our roles that way. And then if somebody were to move away or whatever happened, we would vote to see that person released from the covenant. And that, again, voting somebody out of membership could happen for multiple reasons. Yes, if they aren't, if they're living unrepentant and not desiring to live for God, that would eventually maybe become a reality. That's Matthew 18, what we talked about. But also, if they moved away, we would want to see them become a member of a church somewhere where they moved to. If they're seeking a new church, even here in town, seeing their membership go there. But let's keep our membership roles up to date so that membership actually has great significance here. Thirdly, how will we uphold membership at Emmanuel Baptist Church? We should use membership as it should be used. It's not just an attendance role. It's not just a directory for Lena to check on somebody's phone number every once in a while. But it's a tool for us to hold each other accountable as we struggle with sin. And it's a tool to give somebody a reassurance of their salvation. I want to read something to you, and I'm closing up here. This is from a book that I read recently called The Shepherd Leader by Timothy Whitmer. I think that is his name, Timothy Whitmer. I think you can look it up. The Shepherd Leader is what it's called. And he tells a story, okay? And I just printed off the story, and I want to read it to you. And this shows the significance of actually using membership and not just putting it to the side and let dust collect on it. Let me read this to you. This is the true story. Kathy Williams, affectionately known to many as Kate, was born on September 22, 1953. In 1986, Kathy became a member of Covenant Church on the basis of her profession of faith and remained a member until her death on July 14, 2005. She was a member up until her death. The death of Kathy Williams became a watershed moment in the pastoral shepherding ministry of Covenant Church. Coming out of a rebellious and loose lifestyle, Kathy made a profession of faith and actively participated in the life of the church. But then she began to fall into her old sinful habits. She abandoned the church, and no one knew where she was, or at least no one cared to find out. Her name, however, remained on the rolls, but just as a name. Shortly before her death, God placed Kathy back on the doorsteps of Covenant Church. Pastoral interaction with the dying Kathy was too brief to confirm how she stood before God. In a cloud of uncertainty, Kathy was memorialized. She will have to stand before the judgment seat to give account for her life. But before that same exact throne, the shepherds of that church, Covenant Church, will have to give an account for that lost sheep as well. Let me say, the pastors failed Kathy in that. The pastors of that church failed Kathy. We have to say it as it is. But also I want to say the church failed Kathy. I don't want us to be a church that fails those who are bound in covenant with us. I don't want us to fail them. I want us to seek after them and bring them back into faithful covenant with us. I don't want us to fail anybody. I don't want to personally fail anybody in holding them accountable to the covenant they made with us one day. I want us to be a church that loves those who we've promised to hold accountable, to love them by not forgetting the vows that they made in membership, by loving them, by taking their membership seriously. So that's what we're going to do as a church. We're going to take membership very seriously. Local church membership is a covenant between a Christian and a local body of Christians. That's what it is. I'll say two things about it. It's critical. It is critical to fulfill certain commands in Scripture, that we would fulfill the command as Christians to hold each other accountable, and the pastor would answer the command to know the names who he is over. It is critical, but it's also beneficial. Not just critical, it's beneficial for the saints. That it would offer you, as a member, accountability in your fight against sin, and it offers you reassurance from the body of your salvation. Therefore, we will do all that we can to uphold the biblical concept of church membership. We want attenders to jump off the fence and step into accountability. We want attenders to jump off that fence of uncertainty and dive in to covenant with us. We want to keep the membership up to date so that it's truly useful for us, and we want to use it as a means that it should be, as accountability for each one of us as we live faithfully to God. Amen? Amen. I'm going to step down in just a minute as we sing one last song, and I want to encourage you just to if you have anything you want to pray for, bring before me, and I just would love to join you in prayer for that. I encourage you to do it. I'll take my mic off, put a mask on. I'd love to pray with you because we are a family. We're a family. I felt that this morning this afternoon at the baby shower. I feel it tonight as we talk about membership. So I'd love to pray with you if that's what you need. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll sing one last song. Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you, Lord, for the stretching of our muscles that sometimes is uncomfortable, Lord. Would you continue to stretch us and work on us, Lord, that we could live faithfully for you? As a church, in many ways, one of those ways being a church that upholds membership and the value that it gives us. So, Lord, we love you. We want to serve you every day. It's your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.